was in Shiloh. Also the two sons, Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord and she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah arose after he had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the afflictions of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, Lord, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the Lord of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah her husband said to her, Do what seems best to you, wait until you have weaned him, only let the Lord establish his word. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bulls and 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord together. And Hannah, chapter 2, prayed and burst out in praise and said, My heart rejoiced in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Take no more so very proudly, or rather talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the word upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. We'll skip and go to verse 18. Now, verse 18, but Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. There, moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendant from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own homes. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. That ends the reading. Let us commit the time to the Lord in prayer for the ministry of this word. Father, there's so much in these two chapters about the life of Hannah. And today is Mother's Day. Lord, we want to glean from this passage, Lord, what you want in, or what you're looking for in the mothers. So I pray as this word is spoken, those grace will be deposited in the mothers, and that they will raise up men and women of God who grow up to love you, to honor you, and bring glory to your name. So I pray, Father, Lord, that your word will come in a mighty way, anointing rests upon your servant to speak your word with clarity, and also your people to hear and to receive your word. And it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish your purpose and your will. In the mighty name of your Son Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. As you know, today is Mother's Day. I'm speaking on this topic about motherhood, and we want to also take time to honor all mother. I hope to deliver a short message, and if there's some time left, I would open up some time for 2 or 3 people to give testimony, to express their thanks and their appreciation and their love of their mothers, or even for their wife as mothers. Now, the Bible has actually does honor many of the mothers and women. An example would be the first woman of the humanity, Eve, is called the mothers of all living. And Sarah is the mothers of nations, and Ruth, rather, Rahab, Ruth, and Mary are the mothers whose names got specially mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, though Rahab was a harlot, her life was turned around and she was redeemed. And she was given this honor to carry the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so there is hope for many of the mothers, or some of the mothers here, who thought that you have, you know, failed miserably for whatever reasons, and you felt that you know, there is no way back to this, to become the vessel of honor. I want to encourage you, if you look at the life of Rahab, and she was given that honor. So there is hope and a future for all mothers, even those who have made mistakes in life. God can turn your life around, and that you are able to, going to have children, is going to end well and end strong. And then another mother is Mother Mary. She is called the blessed of among the women. And also in the New Testament, we hear names like Louise and Eunice, who are called the grandmother and mother of Christian legacy, because they imparted, you know, the Christian's values to their to Timothy. So today, this morning, we're going to look at one mother in particular, and her name is Hannah, and she's considered to be the mother of prayer. Now, mothering is one of the toughest jobs today. The role that is required of them is somewhat demanding, but often not well appreciated. And when God created woman, he had the following specification in mind in creating a mother. And she must have the ability to perform all of this following task. She must be a chauffeur, a nurse, a teacher, a comforter, a gardener, a family counselor, a cleaner, a housekeeper, a cook, an errand runner, interior decorator, caterer, dietitian, secretary, hostess, and the list goes on and on. All right, so She's supposed to work 7 days a week and on call 24 hours, anytime, any place, and no leave, no sick leave, no superannuation. All right? So we are all given this super good deal, right, from our mothers. So cheers to our mothers. We got a good deal from you. All right. We all have mothers and we all have expectations of what a mother should be. We expect our mothers to be there when we most need her. But we also expect her not to be there when we don't want her to be around. Especially when we go through the teenage years. We don't want our mothers, you know, to be around. Don't come and tell me what to do. You know, I want to have my freedom and do whatever I like. You know, that is, you know, coming off from children going into the teenage years. Now, there is no other job in the world that is as rewarding as and also as heartbreaking as a mother. No other job will have the influence and the impact on the world like parenting does. 90% of the teenagers, when you ask them who influenced their life most, they will tell you it will be their parents. And most likely, it will be their mother. Now, the influence can be a godly or a worldly one. And by convention, by normal convention, the father normally goes to work and while the mother attends to all the household duties. And mothers would spend more time with the children than the fathers. And therefore, the influence of the mother is far more than the father. This morning, I want to talk to you about few things that God looked for in a mother. And moms, if you have these attributes, God will be pleased with you. You will be a big blessing to your children, and that blessings will be visited upon their children and their children the few generations from you. And that is God's promise. And men, if you support and encourage your wife and as mother of your children to develop these attributes, your family and your children will be blessed. Hannah had these attributes, and her husband Elkanah nurtured them in her. He respected her for them, and as a result, the family was blessed by God. And first, we need to know the background story of Hannah. It is important to know the surrounding circumstances concerning Hannah. Now, Hannah was married to a man called Elkanah, and most likely because Hannah could not conceive or could not bear children for many, many years, Elkanah had to have a second wife by the name of Penina. And the Bible says that the reason why she could not conceive was because the Lord actually had closed her womb. And to make the situation worse, Hannah had a rival, the other wife of the husband, who mocked her all those years. And wife who could not bear children during those days and in that culture were considered to be very, very shameful. It meant that God's favor was not with them. And Hannah was being looked upon because of this. She was severely ridiculed by Penina, who had bore a few sons and daughters for Elkanah. Now, where do you turn to when you are in this predicament, when you have no children? And Psalmist in 121, verse 1 to verse 2 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. He says, where my help cometh from? My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And because Hannah turned to God for her help, she becomes an excellent example for all of us to imitate and to follow. What are the attributes of Hannah as a mother that pleases God? Now, first, she prayed fervently. She prayed fervently. That's number one. Mothers, if you are facing problems too great for you, don't try to solve the problems on your own. But instead, be like Hannah. Turn to the Lord and lay all your petitions and your supplication before His throne. And she knew that Elkanah wasn't the source of children. It is God. And every child that is conceived in this world is a gift from God. And Hannah knew that children are heritage from the Lord. And she desperately wanted a gift, this gift from God. So she prayed earnestly. I think most of us here know the standard answer. Pray earnestly. The question is, what kind of prayer is more effective? That's what we're going to look into. The Bible gives us a few details as to Hannah's private prayer life. Now, first, Hannah's spiritual and prayer life was consistent. And fervent prayer does not just come overnight. Just like a tree or a fruit, it does not come overnight. It takes quite some time for a tree or fruit to reach maturity. Hannah was yearning for a son, and she must have been praying this for many years. And from what we have read in the chapters, the family is consistent and a devout Christian. And they visit the temple consistently over the years and offer their praise and worship to the Lord every year. And God is looking for spiritual consistency in our life. Not hot for the Lord for a few months or a few years, and then later on, you know, due to the change of circumstances, you begin to change. You're only hot, you know, when you get your way. You know, when things are going according to what to your way. But when things are not getting your way, then you begin to become kind of go into the cold freezer and become a lukewarm Christian or a very cold Christian. This is what I call a yo-yo Christian. Now, I'm not saying that you do not go through the crest and the trough of Christian life or the different seasons of your spiritual life. We all go through those periods. But what I'm saying is you don't become hot for the Lord for years, a few months, years, and then later on go into a cold freezer. So it is important that we maintain consistency of our spiritual life, because God is looking for consistency. And then the second thing is this: she was persistent in her prayer. Now, how do we know? Now, Hannah was ridiculed by Peninnah for many years, and she was saddened, she was discouraged, and she was emotionally drained. And many in Hannah's or similar situation would have thrown in the towel and just gave up and saying, I've done all that I know what to do, I just will have to accept my fate, F-A-T-E. But Hannah did not give in to this so-called thing called fate. She rejected such nonsense. Instead, she turned to the Lord for help. And she was persistent. She was persistent in her prayer. And that's why Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 18. He says, men always off to pray and not lose heart. Don't lose heart. You know, eventually you will reap your harvest. So I encourage mothers, I encourage fathers, whatever that you're facing, you know, you are not getting the answer, but persevere in your prayer. And the third thing is Hannah prayed with tears and intensity. In First Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to verse 11, he says that she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She was so intense in her prayer. Her prayer was from the depth of her heart, and it was a heartfelt prayer. It was not just a token, but a heartfelt prayer. And in verse 15, it says that she poured out her soul before the Lord. So in her prayer, she also made a vow to the Lord. And she said, if you give me a child, I know I will give him back to you for full-time service. Making a vow to God is no small matter. And do not take it lightly, because God will bring you into account the vow that you make before Him. That's why Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 to verse 5, it says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. He says, for He has no pleasures in full. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and pay not. Therefore, vowing something before the Lord is a very serious matter. And then the next thing is Hannah prayed believing. And in verse 17 to verse 18, he says that actually Eli, the high priest, said, go in peace. He says, the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked. And she said in reply, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and her face was no longer sad. Now, when the high priest Eli said to Hannah that may God grant her the petition, her countenance, her face countenance was changed, was no longer sad. And it indicates that Hannah believed in her heart that God is going to answer her prayer. There are occasions where we go through discouraged and our prayers are not answered. And then we may continue to pray periodically. And sometimes when we do that, there is there is what we call, we don't quite believe what we pray. And this is very real. All right. So I'm going to do a bit of application. What do? When you pray and you pray consistently for over a period of time and the answer, you know, is you receive no answer from the Lord and you get discouraged. So I suggest this is what you should do. You know, just be honest with the Lord. You say, Lord, I prayed this for so many years and I'm not getting the answers. You know, I have this unbelief in my heart. So, Lord, help my unbelief. There was a similar story in the book of, I think in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 24. A man who is also in this situation. And he says, I want to believe, but I cannot. So help my unbelief. This is the way that you respond. This is the way you overcome your unbelief. And the next thing is, the second attribute of Hannah is, Hannah kept her words. She kept her vow. And after the baby was born, Hannah named him Samuel, means heard by God. She then nursed the child for 3 to 4 years. And during these years, Hannah must have developed so much emotional attachment with Samuel because he was the only child, the miracle child, the beloved child. And can you imagine how painful it must have been for Hannah to turn Samuel over to Eli after he was weaned? And most mothers under such circumstances would have given all kinds of excuses to say, to change their mind, say that I'm not going to give this child back to the Lord because this is my only child. I'm sure you will be faced with such a temptation, but not for Hannah. She kept her promise. In verse 24, it says that after Samuel was weaned, she took the child with her and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And then notice that Hannah did not break out in praise after Samuel was born. It was only after she gave the child to the Lord that she broke out in praise. And then that was recorded for us in the first portion of chapter 2. She rejoices that the Lord had answered her prayer and that she has fulfilled her promise to the Lord. I have seen quite a few cases, you know, through our 30 over years as a Christian. I've seen couples who don't have children and they begin to plead desperately, say, Lord, give me this child. And then God answered their prayer and give them a child. But then whatever they promised earlier to the Lord, they did not fulfill. And the child, instead of a blessing, you know, it becomes a hindrance to their spiritual life because it becomes an idol in their life. So I would like to remind you that please, no, don't do that. It is important for you to keep your promise to the Lord and not to make your child an idol. Now, because Hannah kept her word, God later blessed her with 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. It was recorded for us in verse 21. Now, do we all keep our promises? Don't we make a vow before, especially for those who are married? You know, we all make our marriage vow, for better or for worse. You know, for richer or for poorer, sickness in sickness and in health, to love and to hold, to be faithful together till death do us part. Now, do not take this lightly. You are saying this marriage vow before God the Almighty. And God will hold you, you know, responsible and hold you into account for what you have vowed. Oh, so very important. Not only the marriage vows or any other vows that you have made before the Lord, make sure that you fulfill that vow. Now, the third attribute of Hannah is this. Hannah knew that her child belongs to the Lord. And that is why Psalms 127, verse 3, verse says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. As believers, we have to recognize that children first and foremost belong to God. And God in His goodness actually gives these children as gifts to parents. And when we dedicate or give Him back to the Lord for service, we can be assured that God would take care of them far more than we do. Now, in the case of Hannah, she entrusted the care of Samuel to the high priest Eli. Now, although Eli was not a good high priest, but Hannah fully trusted the Lord that He would take care of the situation. And she believed that God would raise Samuel up to be a vessel of honor to serve God with distinction. And Samuel grew up to become one of the greatest men of God. He authored 2 books, 1 and 2 Samuel, in the Bible. And Samuel was a righteous man who guided the people of the nation out of immorality back to obedience to God and His law. And he was so highly regarded by God that God equated his righteousness with that of Moses. And this was recorded for us in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 1. And God in that period condemned the sin of Judah. And he said, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, he says that my mind will not be changed, will not be favorable towards this nation of Judah. I'm going to cast them out of my sight. So he equates the prayer of Samuel to that of Moses, who is a very righteous man. Now, a mother with this virtue, as I've listed here, is one of the most powerful forces on earth. She has within her hands the ability to shape the future with their children. In fact, mothers, you are not just carrying out an ordinary domestic role. A spiritual or mother's spiritual role has a far-reaching effect. It has the potential to impact hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of people's life. So, for example, I'm going to give you three examples. Susanna Wesley. And you know, Susanna Wesley brought up two children, spiritual giant, revivalist John Wesley and Charles Wesley. And they impacted the lives of hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people. And look at the work. Up to today, you still see tens or even hundreds of thousands of Methodist churches spread all around planet Earth. And then, do you know that Susanna Wesley actually had 17 children? Now, when we have two or four, we find that it's too much a handful to handle. But she had 17 children. And every day, she prayed 1 hour for all the children. Every day, 1 hour, she spent 1 hour praying for all the 17 children. And for each child, she will spend an hour per week to nurture them in the spiritual things, in the books of the Bible. So she is a woman that is so influential that she was able to bring up two spiritual giants during that era. And then another example would be George Washington, the U.S., the first president of the United States of America. And George Washington said of her mother, he said that my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever met or saw. And all I am, I say, I owe it to my mother. And he says, I attribute all my success in life, in the moral, intellectual, and the physical education I received from her. And then another U.S. president by the name of Abraham Lincoln. And then the past president, he said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe it to my angel mother. I remember my prayer, my mother's prayer, and they have followed me. He says, the prayer have clung to me all my life. So you don't underestimate your, what they call, your influencing power over your children, how it will affect the future generation. Many spiritual giants and great men of God that have been raised in the past century have been the work of mothers, especially in the prayer for their children. And mothers, though your work may not be recognized, is unseen by the public, your role and effort will not be in vain and in the sight of God. And you can make a significant impact on your children. And for those families whose children are somewhat grown up already, because the children are grown up, you may think that it's already too late for such a thing. It is still not too late. You can continue to pray for your children, because the life is not over until life is over. And that's, you know, when they you can pray that they will finish well and they will finish strong. You can also pray and impart those godly values on your grandchildren. Just as Louis, together with what they call Eunice, imparted these values to Timothy. And today, my sermon is not meant to just admonish only mothers, but also the fathers of their spiritual responsibility. And it is also to admonish all of us to honor and to respect our mother. And that's why there is a scripture in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on earth. So there is a promise. If you children, you honor your parents, you honor your mother, it says that all will be well with you and that you will live long on earth. That of all the Ten Commandments, this is the only commandment. This is the first commandment that comes with a promise. So it's a very powerful thing. So it's very important that we honor our mother. And everyone must remind ourselves that we first live, or we start life, first start our life in the womb of our mother. And we receive our first nourishment from our mother, both inside the womb and after we were born. Our mother or mom continuously care and cook and look after us from birth to childhood. She provides for us, she attends to our sicknesses, she nurses us, and then she clothes us, she cooks for us, she fed us, she cleans us, up our mess, she carries out all the household and domestic chores. And you can begin to see that mothering is one of the toughest jobs today. And when you have a kid next time, you will experience all these things in bringing up your children. Notice that when the Bible commanded us to honor and respect our parents, it is not an what you call a conditional command. Not if, there's no if and buts in that particular command. It just says that we need to honor our parents. We need to honor our mother. So regardless of what you think of your mother, whether it is good or whether it is bad, you still need to honor for her office, because it is a God-ordained office. And think of all the years of love, care, and concern in bringing you up. And it is no ordinary feat. So I will come with this and close with this. How do you honor your mother? Now, honor your mother by expressing one or more of the five languages of love. We all know there are five languages of love, the way that we express our love to our loved one. Now, not only on Mother's Day, but also, you know, on a very consistent basis throughout the year. This is, you know, the way to honor your mother. Now, not just Mother's Day. All right, so I want to emphasize. So, but the simple things that you can do. First is word of affirmation. You know, verbally. Tell your mother, you know, that you love her, you appreciate her for what she has done. And things like this, you know, minor things here and there, express your appreciation and your gratitude to her. It means so much to her. The second love language is a simple touch. Touch and give her a hug and give her a love and say, you know, I love you, mom. You know, you're a great mom. And then the third thing is time. Spend time with her. Spend quality time with her. If your mom appreciates, you know, having fellowship and having a conversation with you. So take time off, whether it's the morning, afternoon, or the night. Take the time to spend with her, whether in the beach or in the park or in a restaurant, you know, take time. The third thing is, the fourth thing is gifts. Bring her out for lunch or for dinner and buy her a particular gift. Just like today, we have a small gift for every mother. And then the last thing that you can do is, you know, acts of service. Do something for her. You know, clean up the dishes, you know, mop the floor, vacuum the floor, you know, make the beds, and things like this. Say, Mom, what do you want me to do for you? You know, I'm available. I'm at your service today. So these are the few ways, the five languages of love. Words of affirmation, a simple touch in terms of spending quality time with her. The fourth thing is to give a gift. And then the last thing, acts of service. All right, do you know I... Oh, better don't boast. All right, I stopped short there. All right, only my wife knows. All right, that's good enough. All right, don't boast in front of you know, the people. So, do one or more of those gifts and then bless her. It is, you know, a blessing to bless your mother. So, we have a fair bit of time now. So, I'm going to open up a time of testimony for two or three people to come out and to say a few words about your mother, to express your thanksgiving, your gratitude as an act of honor, yeah, to your mother. So anyone, just feel free to come out, two or three. If the testimony is short, we can have more. But otherwise, we have about three people. So anyone. This is love gift, what you call language of love number one, words of affirmation. I'm not getting any. What happened? Break again. Wow. Husband, you can do that as well. You can say something, you know, about your wife as the mother of the family. Yes, anyone?
Oh, all right.
Yes, Daniel.
Obviously, being married to my dad, Michael, was never easy. So she's had to do a lot for us, and because dad was broken and stuff. No, but mum's been the rock of the house. Usually, as you're preaching, like, the mums are usually very at the home doing the domestic stuff, but for our household it's the other way around a little bit. Once dad become full time in the wheelchair, mum had to really step it up and start going to work and put on the boots, bring home the bacon. So yeah, it's a bit of a different story for us. So yeah, the love we have for mum is like kind of the love that you have for your father as well. Like, we respect him as on a working level, on a labouring level, but also on a nurturing level as well. So, and the amount of time she's had to still nurse Aaron in a way. Martin, you know what he's like. Yeah. He still likes to be rocked. But, nah, she's a very loving lady, and mum, we really appreciate all you do for us. And yeah, it's a real honour to be called your son and to be part of your family. And yeah, it's just awesome how you've had to be like both partners in a way. Not putting you down, Mick, you're still a good guy. But nah, but yeah, you've had to really be there for us in lots of different levels. So yeah, it's just been awesome. So really thankful every day. So yeah, thanks, Mom.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Tana?
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Thank you.
How do I start? Well, I guess I want to just share one of my best memories. And that was the very first time I came to Zion to meet the Lord.
Yeah, put it higher, nearer to your mouth, yeah.
But that night we celebrated Josh's, Mel and Daniel's birthday at the atrium. And I'll never forget the first thing she said to me was, now you're part of our family now, so you're one of my sons. So I've always kept that in my heart. And I just want to thank you for all the support that you've given me, all the love, all your knowledge to help me grow. I'm not good at speaking, really. But I just want to also take this time to acknowledge my mum back in New Zealand. I haven't had a chance to speak with her much, but I continue to pray for the Lord to be with her, to bless her, just to bless the Lord that I love her, and that I hope one day the Lord will give her salvation. I just want to just say that I went back to New Zealand. She was very inspirational in my life. She actually, we had, I had three brothers and two sisters, and growing up were all like a headache to her, so our cupboards were stacked up with Panadol. But as me and my older brother grew older, we sort of come to realize the work that she did for us, and we sort of put our foot down. Well, me and my older brother and my sister. And just sort of keep the younger ones in line. I believe that through the love and respect that mum had for us, it's especially me and my brothers,
Amen. Amen. Yes. Sister Julie. Amen. Amen. Yes.
I want to talk something to Ezekiel because I think for Ezekiel Heritage, in a sense, that I gave it a lot is I want to give tribute to my late grandmother. That's my mom's mother. She's the one, she's the first one to be a Christian in the family. And I believe for us, for me to come to, and after that follow by me, because I remember those years that I was out in Singapore staying with her. Every morning, early in the morning, you know, she'd be sitting on a round, a kind of cane chair, and 3-4 o'clock she'd be praying. And I used to hear a lot of our names, my sister name, my names, uncles and aunties, all the names. And I believe it's because of my grandmother praying. And this is something, you know, we always talk about just our mother, but I want to give people to spiritual mothers. And I would consider her like a spiritual mother to me, even those years that, you know, I was young, I used to come out and go with her to church. But I believe that this is what, I think it's like, you know, we talk about Buddhist and Greek and what is being imparted, and the faith to believe in things, and it's really, really something that as young I've seen it. When we were poor, she didn't have the money because we lost our grandfather during the Japanese occupation. And here we are, all these children, grandchildren, you know, coming to her, and we are all kind of growing up and we need food. And I remember there are times that we don't have rice, we don't have food. And she will pray. And next minute we will have, you know, the sister, the missionary sister will come with some food and say that, oh, you know, I just got a lot, they want to bring some food to your family. And these are things that I've seen faith in action. And sometimes, you know, we don't even have money. And she would say, come, let's just pray. And we will pray. And she said, go around looking, you know, have maybe some chairs or whatever. And here we are, we pick up a little cushion and we start buying 5 cents, 10 cents. And those times when 5 cents, you can buy rice. And I think that this is where, I think that she is imparting to me the faith to believe in the Lord. She's gone to the circumstances, but she's seen her not complaining. She has given up children, I think about 6 of them. And when my grandfather was killed, she had one actually in the womb during the Japanese occupation. So I want to give tribute to my grandmother. She's a spiritual mother to me. And of course, my own mother also, she has taught us great values, you know. I mean, though she's not a believer, and I'm believing for salvation, but from young, she has taught us good moral values, good virtue. So I also give her.
Amen. Amen. Any more? Last one. No more? All right, I'll give the last one myself. I'd like to, you know, thank my wife as a mother of the family. And, you know, I've been working very hard outside. And most of the time, she raised up the children and it imparted a lot of godly values into my 3 children, James, Grace, and Joy. And they're all grown up kids now. And I really thank God that even though I do encounter some teenage kind of problems from them, but it's not as many that I heard from other parents. So I think I attribute that, you know, to her good kind of impartations of values into the children. And I want to salute her for that. All right. So that's all for today. Shall we stand and close in prayer? Father, we thank you for mothers and for those, Lord, perhaps they feel they are inadequate. But when we look at the life story of some of the women, especially we look at Rahab, Lord, she made a big mistake in her life, but yet she turned around because of your grace, because of your love. You can turn the situation around. And she becomes an honor, a vessel of honor. She's given that special privilege to carry the lineage of Jesus. So let this be an encouragement to all women here who perhaps feel that they have made mistakes in life and they cannot redeem themselves. But God is greater than your heart. Your heart may condemn you, but God is greater than your heart. So I'd like to encourage, Lord, you to, Lord Holy Spirit, encourage all these mothers that give them a spirit of prayer. Lord, they continue to pray for their family, for the children. Lord, life is not over until it is completely over. As long as we have the breath, last breath of life, there is still hope. So I pray that you give them a prayerful heart. And all those attributes listed in the life of Hannah, you impart it to them. And they will turn the situation around and bring up a family that will honor you. That the family will become a vessel of honor, pleasing unto your sight, glorifying your name. So thank you once again, and give us a heart to honor our parents, not only for today, but consistently over the rest of our life. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and we ask. And God's people say, amen. Amen. The service is over. God bless you. Join us for a cup of coffee and tea. Thank you.